The service of these men certainly was a plus in their efforts to hold national office. Now, the Democrats struggled to regain their position as the major party in the United States. They were unsuccessful at the presidential level. They elected Grover Cleveland twice in 1884 and then again in 1892. And then they elected Woodrow Wilson in 1912, but Wilson's election was really a fluke because the Republican Party was badly divided, with Theodore Roosevelt running outside the party and siphoning millions of votes away from the Republican nominee. It was hard for the Democrats to live down the label of treasonous party, or of the Copperhead Party, or of the party that had worked against Abraham Lincoln and the best parts of the United States. The Democrats had more success in electing members to the House of Representatives, and especially after the Southern states were back in the Union, the House actually went Democratic again before the end of the century, and they also had success in the Senate. Democrats also had success running some of their former generals for office. They elected George B. McClellan, governor of New Jersey, for example, and almost won the election of 1880 with Winfield Scott Hancock, one of the great heroes at Gettysburg, as their standard bearer. But overall, the Republicans had the better of this struggle for the best political use of the memory of the war. Their candidates could wrap themselves in the flag, wrap themselves in the cause of union, and that really was an avenue denied most of the Democrats. The Democrats remained a minority party in terms of the White House well through the 19th century. The North also remembered the war by erecting monuments and by writing accounts of the conflict. Many, many monuments went up, and a flood of literature poured out, much of that literature written by former soldiers. Most of these accounts were unit histories or sets of reminiscences and memoirs. They didn't focus for the most part on the causes of the war, but when they did, they tended to place slavery very near the center, if not at the center, of why the war came. The Union accounts did. They also almost always emphasized the Union as the great issue over which the two sides were fighting. Union, the great reason that men went into the service and the great benefit that came out of the war. Emancipation in most of these accounts would be secondary to Union. Now, some of the accounts by non-soldiers absolutely placed slavery and emancipation at the center. Henry Wilson's famous three-volume History of the Rise and Fall of the Slave Power was an example of this kind of book. The monuments, the literature, these suggest that people in the North were concerned about the war and how the war would be remembered. But gradually, the white North especially turned away from the conflict and focused on other things. I think this is understandable because they won. I think it makes a great difference whether you win or lose. I think if you win something like this, you tend to celebrate. You tend to believe that God was on your side in a mid-19th century context. You can sort of pat yourself on the back, write or read books saying how great you are, go to the monuments, but then get on with life. You don't have to focus. You don't have to wallow in the past. The North celebrated Memorial Day. They would go to battlefields to decorate graves, national cemeteries. They would listen to lectures, but they didn't really focus on the past, I think, for very long after the war. One exception to that was the Grand Army of the Republic, the great veteran organization, the first huge veteran organization in United States history. It had hundreds of thousands of members, Union veterans. It was the most powerful political lobby in late 19th century United States, pushing for a range of issues, often Republican issues, but not always, but also pushing for benefits for veterans, for pensions, for them and for their widows and so forth. The GAR was immensely important in the late 19th century, and most of these men were very concerned with remembering the war and how it had gone and what it had been fought for. Again, Union, the main thing that they thought about. What about the White South? The White South, I believe, focused more on the past, as you would infer from what I just said, than the White North. I think they devoted enormous effort to making sense of their profound defeat, partly because it was a defeat. How do we look around, in essence, they said to one another, at this shambles that used to be our society and at this landscape that used to look so much better than it does now?